clues are emerging in the case of Southwest Flight 812. An SR-22 went down due to a maintenance oversight. And that drug plane down in New Mexico was a Cessna 310. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, April 27, 2011. The National Transportation Safety Board is continuing its investigation into the rapid decompression incident April 1st involving Southwest Flight 812 at 34,000 feet over Arizona. Investigators have not only analyzed the portion of the fuselage which failed, but another nearby segment which was removed before the 737 was returned to the airline. What they found so far is that the area which failed, opening a 9-inch by 59-inch section of the ceiling aft of the overwing exit, has a single crack which ran through the lower skin and connected 58 consecutive rivet holes in the lower row of lap joint rivets. Fatigue cracks were found emanating from 42 of the 58 holes. In the section which had not failed, non-destructive eddy current inspections conducted around intact rivets revealed crack indications at 9 rivet holes in the lower rivet row of the lap joint. X-rays then found gaps between the shank portions of several rivets and their holes. Removal of selected rivets revealed the holes in the upper and lower skin to be slightly offset relative to each other, and many of the holes on the lower skin were out of round. The investigation continues using tools including optical and scanning electron microscopes. The NTSB is also out with a final report in the case of a Cirrus SR-22 that lost power over Washington State in March of 2010. The pilot tried to make the nearest airport, but came down 2.5 miles short and hit trees near Morton, Washington. He was killed and his passenger was seriously injured. The NTSB downloaded the contents of non-volatile memory from the plane and found that fuel flow jumped to 30 gallons per hour at the same time the engine lost power. Investigators determined that during an annual condition inspection 11 flight hours earlier, the fitting cap on the throttle and metering assembly inlet apparently was not torqued to spec. The cap was found resting on a cylinder baffle, and when installed finger tight, the engine could be run normally. The report adds that contributing to the accident was a decision by the director of maintenance to return the airplane to service without verifying with the assigned inspector that all annual inspection items had been completed. That small plane that went down late Sunday morning in a New Mexico lake has been identified by debris analysis as a Cessna 310. FAA spokesman Lynn Lunsford told the Associated Press what's tentatively thought to be the radar track of the plane suggests it left Prescott, Arizona. Witnesses say it went down during a severe storm. Bundles of cocaine about the size of tissue boxes have been surfacing from the wreckage, but New Mexico State Police spokesman Lieutenant Eric Garcia still declines to speculate on the purpose of the flight. Dive teams reported the plane is in small pieces in about 100 feet of water, and that human remains found are too fragmented to be identified by anyone but a medical examiner. Garcia did tell AP, quote, "We have been able to retrieve a significant amount of information from the debris we've recovered," unquote, including membership cards, but Garcia declined to release the names. The National Business Aviation Association says it will continue to work with its members to advocate forcefully for preserving general aviation access at the nation's airports. The latest high-profile assault on that access came from the Los Angeles City Council, which passed a resolution last week supporting efforts to close 6 flight schools operating at Santa Monica Airport. The effort was based on what the NBAA says are patently false and politically motivated allegations that the schools are a safety hazard. The council's resolution also expresses concern about the safety of the departure paths utilized from Santa Monica and the environmental impact of aircraft taking off and landing at the airport. Fortunately, LA has no say in the matter, but even the city of Santa Monica, which owns the airport, has tried to restrict business jet operations there. Earlier this year, a federal court held that only the FAA can impose restrictions on aeronautical activities at the airport based on safety. In that dispute, NBAA was joined by AOPA in submitting a friend of the court brief that strongly supported the FAA's position that the proposed ban violates terms of federal grants accepted by the city. Regarding last week's resolution by the LA City Council, FAA spokesman Ian Greger observed that while Los Angeles cited a July 2010 accident at a nearby golf course as evidence the flight schools should be shut down. Quote, "The fact is that the pilot in that crash was an experienced commercial pilot and not a student," unquote. Pilots and city officials are again jumping to the defense of Rocky Mountain Air Park in Elbert County, Colorado, after the air park operator and a passenger were fatally injured Saturday when the Carbon Cub they were flying went down. Pete Vinton, who was the operator of the fly-in community outside Denver, was the pilot in command. One neighbor told KKTV that the residents of the community were big boys with toys who presented danger to those living in the area. Another said pilots performed acrobatics such as hammerheads and low-level passes. Pilots tell a different story about Vinton and the air park. One, a friend of Vinton's, said those who were complaining are not familiar with aviation. He said Vinton was always sensitive about noise abatement and worked hard to respect homeowners in the nearby area. An Elbert County commissioner noted the airport was there long before housing sprang up around it and that Vinton worked hard to restrict flights into and out of the air park. KKTV reports the accident as one of several over the past few years, but this was the first fatal one. Still ahead, a NOAA hurricane hunter is visiting East Coast airports. A teen faces attempted murder charges for shooting at a police helicopter. And Russia denies rumors of hanky-panky in space. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, April 27th. I'm Paul Plack. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt and Controllers Union Chief Paul Rinaldi are back from their nationwide tour of air traffic control towers, during which they stressed professionalism to controllers after a rash of reports of sleeping on the job. Rinaldi, who's president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, said of the conversations, quote, "Our members take seriously the personal responsibility each of them has to act appropriately and keep the flying public safe. I know we will win back the trust and confidence of the flying public," unquote. But he adds it's not just the responsibility of individuals. Quote, "The work of the joint NATCA-FAA fatigue workgroup over the past 18 months has produced 12 recommendations based on established scientific research and data and health practices. They are common sense solutions to a problem NATCA and fatigue experts have consistently raised for years while past administrations turned a blind eye. The recommendations are based on advice from NASA and the military and in line with international air traffic control best practices. If we are serious about addressing controller fatigue, then every recommendation must be adopted and implemented," unquote. Rinaldi also noted, quote, "Congress must also finally pass the FAA reauthorization, which is now in its 18th extension. This legislation includes a number of provisions addressing fatigue," unquote. For those of you on the East Coast who've been through this past winter and still want to think more about severe weather, NOAA hurricane experts will visit 5 U.S. East Coast cities aboard a NOAA Hurricane Hunter aircraft to raise awareness about storm threats and the danger of being caught without a personal hurricane plan. The 5-day tour begins Monday afternoon with a stop at the Massachusetts Military Reservation in Falmouth for 3 hours starting at 2:30 p.m. Then moves on to Patuxent River Naval Air Station in Maryland on Tuesday, Cherry Point Marine Corps Air Station on Wednesday, Savannah International Airport in Georgia on Thursday, and Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport in Florida on Friday. Of the awareness-building campaign, Bill Reed, director of NOAA's National Hurricane Center, observes, quote, "The 2010 hurricane season was one of the most active on record, yet no hurricanes made landfall in the U.S. That does not mean we will be as fortunate during the 2011 season. Be prepared for a hurricane now before one threatens your area, unquote. The public and media are invited to tour the aircraft and meet the team at each stop. National Hurricane Preparedness Week runs May 22nd through the 28th. The Atlantic hurricane season begins June 1st. A Los Angeles teenager has been charged with the attempted murder of a police officer after firing on an LAPD helicopter Sunday morning, not with a laser, but with a gun. 18-year-old Danny Lopez hit the aircraft, which made a successful emergency landing at Van Nuys Airport. KFWB Radio reports he was distraught over the death of a friend and was tackled and restrained by family members until police arrived. No one on board the helicopter was injured. Is this a legitimate safety concern or fighting to protect monopoly profits? Alexei Krasnov, who heads the manned spaceflight department at Russia's space agency, Roscosmos, says Russia will not permit SpaceX's Dragon spacecraft to dock with the International Space Station until its, quote, safety is fully tested, unquote. SpaceX has requested authorization from NASA for a mission to dock with the station in December. Krasnov insists, quote, we will not issue docking permission unless the necessary level of reliability and safety is proven. So far, we have no proof that those spacecraft duly comply with the accepted norms of spaceflight safety, unquote. Of SpaceX's agenda, he adds, quote, this plan is realistic and ultimately commercial spacecraft will be able to dock with the space station, but all in good time, unquote. In its current form, the SpaceX Dragon is set up to operate as an unmanned supply craft, which would put it in direct competition with Russia's government-developed Progress module, which currently has a monopoly on unmanned supply missions. A telemetry failure during a resupply mission last July resulted in the Progress capsule flying past the station without docking. And SpaceX says that within a few years, the Dragon could be human-rated, allowing it to carry crews to and from the station. That would put it in competition with Russia's Soyuz program, on which NASA will be dependent once the shuttle fleet is retired. With only two shuttle flights remaining, Roscosmos jacked up its per-seat prices to $63 million in the latest contract renewal. That's more than triple the 2006 rate. And finally today, Russian officials are denying persistent rumors that cosmonauts are engaging in secret sex experiments while in space, and there are rumors about U.S. astronauts as well. The Russian Interfax news agency reports that Valery Bogomolov, the deputy director of the Moscow-based Institute of Biomedical Problems, insists, quote, there is no official or unofficial evidence that there were instances of sexual intercourse or the carrying out of sexual experiments in space, unquote. Bogomolov said, however, he could not speak to similar rumors about American space explorers. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Kate Hanai of Flyers writes, helps break down all the new airline passenger protections just announced by the DOT. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.